I'm blessed today because many of you are here, and I pray that today we'll speak about family. Family is the most important thing, okay? We'll talk about family today. Father, we just want to thank you. We want to dedicate this time into your hands, and I pray, Father God, that you are the initiator of family. You love families, and you are the one, Lord, who brought forth Adam, not alone, but with his spouse, that is Eve, that he wanted a family, and they will multiply for a reason. They have come to this world for a reason, Father, to worship you only. To worship you only. Father, I dedicate my mind, my lips and my tongue and my voice box. Let everything that I speak, Lord, will come from your love. Everything that I speak, Lord, will be your word, not the word of the flesh. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. My title of this message today is called God's Ideal Family. God's Ideal Family. Amen. You've got your own ideal thoughts. You said, I want an ideal thought of my own family. And I will see how God is going to speak to us this morning. Okay. First of all, we must understand that God is lover of family. God in Genesis, you created everything in pairs. He didn't create one by one. He created everything in pair. Why did God create everything in pair? A male and a female. So that they can reproduce. So they can have filled this earth with so many others as they come. A family is not only a father and a mother or a husband and a wife, but also has got to have its produce. The produce is the children. And the children are supposed to be later on become father and a mother, and they are supposed to have produce. And the grandparents have got a duty now to also form the grandchildren now. Amen? To babysit. Is that right? That's what most of you all do, isn't it? Some of you are still waiting, the grandparents are waiting for some babysitting job. The children are not providing yet. Okay? But some of them already given them when they are young. It's like the grandparents are quite young. And suddenly you have them have so many grandchildren around. Wonderful. But God's instituted marriage, you must understand that. God is the God who loves marriage. God does not have anyone here in this world without a marriage. God has got a ceremony. Last time, you know, in the Old Testament, the ceremony was very simple. God put Adam to sleep and pulled out his rib and he said, this will be the woman. And that was the ceremony. And he said, I join you together. Alright? But there is no ceremony of marriage, first of all. There must be a marriage. There is nobody here must be having children without marriage. Then you don't have an example of what a family is like, what God's family, ideal family is like. So he did have a family, and this family he created, but there is no occasion of anyone, there was no ceremony at that time. In the Bible, you don't find any ceremonies mentioned about, you know, there was a feast, this how the pastor come and did, or this how God appeared and they solemnized the wedding. There was nothing there in the gospel. Do you find anywhere in it? Did any one of you find somewhere? Even Jesus went inside to a Cana to provide for the first time in a wedding, the first miracle he did. He didn't perform a marriage. He only provided the wine after they were drunk. Alright? But he provided the best wine after they were drunk. So if you see the way God has done is in the work, in the life of people, the marriage is actually not a customary. Marriage is actually depending on the customs of the people or the culture of the people. Some of them have got this thing they have to do, some have got to do something else, and they have got a ceremony. You know, the Indians have got so many mess up things and all. They have to do this, do that, and everything. This is called a cleansing. I don't know what nonsense of cleansing, but when Jesus Christ's blood is cleansing, is ready. Nothing else can cleanse us greater than anything else. I mean, Jesus Christ's blood is the best thing can ever, best, I should say, detergent washer, the sin washer. You can never find anything else. So there are ceremonies they do because they believe the culture traditionally was carried on from great-grandparents to somebody and someone. And different cultures have got different. The Chinese have got a tea ceremony and they have got others. So the last wedding I had was the tea ceremony was done quickly, and so that we have the ceremony of the church, solemnization of the wedding, of saying both of them announcing that they love each other, they want each other, and they will live for each other. But you see, the marriage, there are duties in a marriage. There are duties in a family. The father, the man has got a duty. The wife has got a duty. And the children has got a duty. And the grandparents have got a duty. That's what we're going to cover today. Right? So to see an ideal family, how God was looking from the word of God, and see how he's looking far ahead of your life and your grandchildren's life and how you'll return back, you and I will return back to him, and how the children will continue the example that he has given. Amen? That's what his purpose is for. Now, Adam and Eve in Genesis 2:24 said, therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 4 to 6, Jesus reiterates and emphasizes on marriage institution and acknowledges that marriage is instituted by God. Jesus confirms it. Jesus endorses it. He says, no, marriage, people must be married before they can live together. Right? The modern plan is, try first, then after that we live together. So work out first whether we can, okay or not, we live together first, then we get married. That trend has got to get out of mentality from Christians. That's not what God wanted. God's desire is different from our desires. Amen? God's purpose is different for away from our purpose. So the purpose, God says that you must be married. A marriage is an institution that Jesus himself says it, and God, Father himself, instituted at the time, and later on came on traditionally in the New Testament, Jesus confirms it in Matthew. Even in the first thing Jesus did was to see the marriage is something that he wants to see so sacred, and is something before God, a sacred sacrament, a sacred vow, a sacred covenant. Jesus went to this wedding in Cana, and in Cana, he ordained the people there to bring out wine and give them. He gave joy to the people. Wedding is a joy. Amen? Joy of whom? Not only the couple, the joy of the Lord. Do you know why? Because he's going to have children, and there are children and children, they will all praise him. Do you follow what I'm saying? If the father and the mother, if the couple at the wedding was supposed to praise God, the children will also follow the same. That's the purpose of God. Purpose of God is to see all generations will worship God on earth. Amen? So he performed a wonderful miracle in Cana in John chapter 2, verse 1 to 11. You go back and check. He did not do it because the earthly mother asked him, Mary asked him to do, but it's because he purposed to do it at the time. Otherwise, he will not do. And he did not even touch the vase, or even he didn't touch the water. He didn't touch the persons, but he just said, pour and lift it out, and everything was done. Amen? By word. So the marriage is by word. Word is a covenant. Word is a covenant that you make with people. Word is a covenant that is so holy when you come before God, and you agree that I, so-and-so, accept so-and-so as my husband or my wife, and I will live with him or her throughout my lifetime, is a covenant. A covenant which is so holy before God, because God is the witness to it. Now the modern days is the Spirit of God is with us. The Spirit of God is a witness. When the two temples get together to in marriage, it becomes so holy for God. When two temples become united one together, Jesus looks at it. This is the covenant I wanted all the time. Amen? This is the covenant when two people get together. Christian marriage is sacred because it is two believers coming together. Together so that their family will be believers' family and believers' family and believers' family. I'll touch a little bit on the marriage itself before I go to the substance of family itself. The other thing is that Jesus also talked about Christians are not allowed to marry unbelievers. Unequally yoked is not wanted. In kingdom of God. Okay? You check it out in Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 14 to 18. 2 Corinthians. You can write it down. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 14 to 18. Verse 14 says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Why is it so? Why is it so? You'll be asking, how can God be so stringent in this law? When two people, when they were supposed to have a trustee, a custodian, they are custodians for the children to come, they must be directly, not confuse the child, but to show them the right direction. Number one. Number two is because you are in the presence of God, the other one is not in the presence of God. Do you understand? A Christian is supposed to be in the presence of God. I told you, we wear the ephod every day. Ephod is the thing which that David used at the time in the Old Testament. He'll carry it and he'll wear it and I ask God. It's not the one which the Pope wears, no. That time was different. Okay? And he asked God, God, tell me whether I should go after this. Tell me that this enemy will come after me. Or tell me what I should do for the nation of Israel. He prays. He prayed as a priest. Today, we are all called priests. Are we called priests? Where do you find that? Right? Where else do you find that? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Go and check it out. You are a royal priesthood, chosen nation. Wow. Not only priest, you know, royal priesthood because of Jesus Christ. All right? So we are a priest. So when you are a priest, you are in the presence of God daily. You are called to be in the presence of God. You are called to be ministering to God every day. When you are supposed to be ministering, if the other person is not joining together with you, that's where you have a lot of problems. One will be in the presence of God, the other one will not be in the presence of God. The word of God is very clear. We are not meaning to say that God says, I am the God, I am Yahweh. And there is no other before me. And there shall be no one after me. Only one, I am only one, no one else. Do you follow what I'm saying? This is very important for us to understand. Why is that marriages are not wanted? Unequally yoked? Because one is in the presence of God, the other one is not in the presence of God. And the word of God is also very clear about what we have got to do as Christians with an idol temple. Verse 16. What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. And he continues to say that. We are a living temple. And we are ministering every day. And we can't be with someone. That's the reason why we ask people, when you want to be equally, when you get married, you must be equally yoked. Man, that's important. What is the believer? If a believer is already married and suddenly halfway they come to know the Lord. And one party, the spouse, get to know the Lord. Normally it's always the women. I don't know why. Man, wake up. Beg your pardon? I didn't hear that. Wake up. Okay? It's mostly women because I counsel many people and I find always the women, some or other, they become to the Lord. Majority of them, I say about 70% of them, they come to know the Lord. The spouse does not want to be. They're still in the world. They don't want to leave the world and come to the Lord. So when they come, what happens? The word of God also gives you assurance what you have to do next. Let's turn to, you don't have to turn to, I hope you can put on up on the screen. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 12 to 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 12 to 14. Christians are freed of if unbeliever chooses to leave. 1 Corinthians 7, 15 to 16. Verse 12 says, but to the rest, I, not the Lord, say, if any brother has a wife who does not believe, she is willing to leave him, let him not divorce her. Okay? And a woman who has a husband who does not believe, if he is willing to leave her, let her not divorce him. Amen. It's very clear. Verse 14. For the unbelieving wife or husband or wife is sanctified by the husband or wife. And otherwise your children would be unclean. But now they are holy. One of the spouse sanctifies the marriage. After you come to know the Lord halfway in the marriage. When you come, you are a temple now. You sanctify the children. You sanctify the husband too. Or a spouse. Right? Wife. So, but if the unbeliever departs, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases. But God called us to be at peace. God called us to be peace. Why we have to read this? Because now we must understand the marriage as a foundation first. Okay? Many of us do not understand. Most of the time we have got problem. It's the flesh that attached to two people and they don't want to. I find a lot of counseling, people who come, they have always a problem after one of the spouse become a Christian, a believer. It's either to choose Lord or to choose the husband or a wife. But that's when the carrying the cross, when Jesus said, come, carry the cross with me, that's when the cross starts. Amen. That's when the cross starts. It's painful, it's difficult, but that's when the cross starts. If we can endure all out, then the crown of glory is waiting for you up there. Amen? Amen. Praise God. From the beginning itself, God wanted marriage not only to give companionship to Adam, but also to have multiply in Genesis 2, he says that. But also, every marriage must be a multiplied. Multiplying effect must be there. The first multiplying effect is not from the, network marketing, multiply by multiply and all this. The multiplication effect came from God himself. So multiply, and we have to multiply. The marriage institution created to honor him, and the blessings will follow through. You've got to honor him. A marriage has got to honor him. It's not because of two, both of you are. Everything in a marriage has got to honor him. Even your intimacy has got to honor him. Intimacy is not just for fleshly desire, but intimacy is for to honor him, for God. And there are some of them refraining from intimacies. That allows the other person, opens the door for the other person to go and look around outside of the marriage. Oh, I'm angry with him. Oh, I'm angry with her. There is no such thing as that. Everything, you have to honor him first. If you love God, you will honor your marriage. You love God, there shall be no unselfishness in the body. Amen? Within husband and wife. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. Psalm 128. Can you turn to Psalm 128? When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, true happiness, and it shall be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruit vine in the very heart of your house. Your children like olive plants all around your table. Behold, thus the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you out of Zion, and may you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. And yes, may you see your children's children. Amen. That's what God's plan is about this marriage. Okay? Amen? God's vision is in Psalm 1-8. God's ideal family is 1-8. Psalm 1-8 is what God's ideal family is like. Let's now look at a couple of things on about each one's duty. So a family has got a duty. If the missionary has got to work, everyone has got to work. If you see an engine working, if you see a motor pumping out some water for your house or doing something, even your blender working, there is a lot of instruments working in the blender together so that the food you want to get, the minced, is minced out. Do you agree with me that? Hello? Do you agree? The blender has got to work. So if you want to talk about a blender, you must have that what blades there. But below the blade, there are motors. There's a magnet motor which goes around. And to have this running, and you have to have a container. To have this running, you must plug it onto the wall. That wall plugging on is the Holy Spirit. Power of God. If you want to see an ideal mincing out coming out from there, or juicing to be coming out from that, whatever you have, a juicer or whatever equipment you have to have the Holy Spirit, the God first. Secondly, each one has got a function. The motor has got a function, the blade has got a function, the container has got a function, and the top, the lid has got a function. You take the thing out of the lid, the things all come out. Splash on you. So just like that, our family unit has got to work together so that it will be an ideal family for God in essence, Psalm 1-8. Amen? Now what is the calling of a husband? A husband is the head of the family. If he's the head of the family, what happens? No. He has to lead the family. Is that right? Amen. So first of all, he has got to love his wife. As a husband, you've got to love your wife just like you love your God. God, then wife. Hello? The focus is on God. The second, I focus on the wife. Not like that, not like this. Okay? No sidekicks. No side funds. So, husband, love your wife just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Loving your wife is very important. That is Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Loving a wife is very important, because out of love, which God gave the love to you, that is, as He gives the love to the church, or even to yourself as a Christian, you must love the wife. Be sensitive to the wife. Be sensitive to the wife. What is sensitive? As a husband. 1 Peter 3:7. Husband likewise dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being has together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. It calls husband to understand the wife and her weaknesses. Sometimes, nagging, isn't it? How many of you say nagging? You dare not put up your hands here. Alright? Afterwards you'll hear the ears pulled out. See, sometimes you say, come and tell pastor, cannot stand lah. There's no choice, I have to buy out and give lah. This dress, whatever it is. Or whatever, most of the time it's the dresses. Or some equipment in the house. Now you find that this is understanding of a person, and the word of God says a weaker vessel. He didn't say a stronger vessel. God created women out of man. Man must be strong so that a woman can be created out of the person. You only have part of you. The woman is only part of us. They don't have the whole of us. From the bone, one of the bones. So they are weaker vessels. That's why he's right by saying they are weaker vessels. Understand their moods. Sometimes it's difficult for husbands to understand the times of the month. They pressure too much. At the times of the month, some of them I've prayed and got healing. They have got severe migraine. They've got severe pain of the tummy. They don't understand. They expect the husband to understand. But in no understanding. But more pressure. Understand the weaker vessel. To be able to be working together. Not to push. So that you will not have a call of grace in your life. Amen? If your wife is grace, don't call her, I've already given you grace. Your father gave you grace. But the grace should come out from your heart. Right? So heart, from the heart flows out the grace that you receive, that you'll give to your wife. That is important thing. Be sensitive to your, God calls you. As a husband, provide for the family. 1 Timothy 5:8. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and he's worse than an unbeliever. The word of God is very strong. So as a believer, believing husband, provide for the family. It doesn't matter how much. You could be, today's world is, the wife could be earning more than the husband. It's okay. I don't know whether I told you here or not. I told you I went to, when I was in the world, I was doing some business, and I had to meet up to sell something to one person. And this lady I met up, she's the director of the education department in Malaysia. Very high ranking person. In the system of education system in Malaysia, she decides on your all the examinations and everything else. She's the director number one. And she said, come to my house. I don't have time to do this. So I went to the house to discuss the plans and everything else. She agreed. And she said, okay, all good, fine, fantastic. So what's stopping you from signing this? She said, I have to ask my husband. I have to explain to him first. I was hoping that suddenly this husband will come with another. She's got a big BMW in front of her house. So I thought another man will come with a big Mercedes Benz, the husband. Suddenly I saw one gardener coming, on a motorbike. Come inside and park inside the house. And he comes out with a uniform, like the office boy uniform. And then she goes in front of the house. I thought she's going to welcome the gardener. She welcomes and kisses the... It's a Malay custom to kiss the husband's... Why is she kissing? He says, this is my husband, so-and-so. And I looked at him for a while. I remember him now. He was the office boy in that office. She has transferred him to another office so that he'll have the privilege of right. Can you just imagine? She waited for that husband to come back. And he had to say yes. Macam you ingat, takpelah, sayang. As you have thought, I am with you. That's all. And then she signed. And she gave the check. You may remember understanding. It's not about who they are, what they are. You can bring a little bit income to the family. It still makes that you are a responsible person in the family. Husbands are called to be responsible providers in the family. There is no excuse. There is no such thing as that you cannot work in the world and bring food for the family. God's requirement is in the Word of God. Amen? There are some of them. I wrote this because some of them have come to me and said, my husband doesn't want to. He believes that, you know, our church says that you don't have to eat, work, you know, relax. God will provide. There's no such thing as that. Must be an occultic church then. Give to his wife her conjugal rights. It's very important. It's not only loving, saying, if you don't give the conjugal rights to her. If you don't have intimacy, it's important. It's one part of the family. It's one part of the marriage. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's why man is created different, women is created with different. It's important. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 3. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 31. Write it down. Husbands and wives. When the other one denies, take out the word and show them. Let the husband render to his wife the affection due, and likewise also the wife to her husband. Amen. I don't have to explain much more. But I know one thing. Most of the marriages which come here broken from different churches have got this problem. Broken marriage. And either the spouse, either one of the spouse looks for her needs outside or his needs outside. And then terror starts at home. And the house break out. And they live in different rooms. They don't see each other. Now they go for divorce. And they come here as a last resort. God has helped many couples back again. But there are one or two so stubborn. Stubbornness, there's no unforgiveness. So continue with their life. So we pray that husband and wife understand the word of God. Very important. Husbands, you're called to become leaders of the household. Genesis chapter 2, 22. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman and he brought her to the man. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. As a man in the house, you must behave as a husband. If you don't behave a husband always wear pants, then many of them come and tell me, Pastor, in the house, the wife is deciding, I don't know what to do, I have no capacity. If you don't wear, you wear sarong, then you let the wife wear pants. Hello? Why do the wives wear pants? Because the husbands turned around and wear sarong. If they wear the pants, then the wife will wear a sarong. Sometimes we push, I'm sorry, I'm straight here. This is very important for all of us. Marriage is important. We push our side of the problems to and say the other side, just like in Adam and Eve. No, God, you know, it's the serpent who told me to do this. We always push it. We blame others. If the husbands were to wear the pants, the wife will continue wearing the sarongs. Only when there is a problem, the husband doesn't make decision in the house, even to repair a small ceiling like this, a leakage. Go and get somebody to come and do. No, it's been deaf ear for many months. Then they wear the pants and they go up and start deciding to repair the leak, repair the pipes, repair the drainage, and then they wear the pants. Now they make decisions, you get irritated because of ego problem. Nothing else, ego. Amen. So let's get right. I want to get this thing all fully before 1 o'clock, okay? I might go fast, but if you want to ask for any more, you can come and see me personally. Because this is the message which I gave to a couple of places teach, and I believe it will be good for our church, and I want to do it on Sunday. 1 Corinthians, as you said, is now 1 Corinthians 11:3. Write it down and you know what your job is like as a duty of a husband. Praise her. Proverbs 31:28. How many times did you praise your wife? Every time. Ayya, today no salt in the food. How come I've got double lines today, my pants. How can I go to office like that? You use too much of starch, today morning. as if I'm wearing a plank in front of me. I'm feeling uneasy. Never had a praise. Darling, today the cooking is so nice. I'm sure it's your own recipe, not from the books. Even if the books, they couldn't know how to do it, you did better than the books. Hello? Am I hearing something? All right. Where are the praises, my friend? You look so beautiful today. That was before courting, yes. Every day beautiful. Every second beautiful. I see my son already. I know what is he doing. Okay, see you. Love you. Okay, see you. Reminds me when I was doing that same. After the marriage, one day, no. 2 days, no. And then come, the special day, the birthday, forget. And women always remember even the date you met first. I don't know what kind of configuration got made. The computer is so great. Even the date, the time, they know when they met first time. What occasion? I don't even remember that. At least la, remember the wedding date. That also cannot remember. Early morning waiting only. At least this man will give a hug or a kiss. All right? No kiss, no hug. I made nice breakfast this morning. No recognition also. See this man getting older. And goes to office. And not even one call for the whole day saying that today evening I'll come back, I'll buy something for you. Remember. The only way to please women is to remember dates. That's from your pastor, okay? Right? Remember. Wherever you go, put blips. And say, hey, remember this date. It's important. It's very important. Unless and until you remember, you can't praise her and please her. If you can't please her whom you see, you can't please God whom you do not see. There are many things God requires out of us, but we don't know how to please Him because we forget about God. And you don't even remember the one who's standing beside you, who's part of your partner to produce the children in the image of God. Amen? Her children raise up and call her blessed. Her husband also and praises her in Proverbs 31:28. Let's practice that. I hope next time I can write, you know, when the wife come inside, next time, I know it's already got a lot of praising, husband is very good, right? Smiling hands. They call her blessed. You know, children call her blessed. You know, how the children also know how to praise the mother. Amen? To bless it. It's important. It comes from the heart. It purifies the heart. Whatever dissatisfaction, whatever things that has been going through in the life, it actually purifies the heart and filters and removes that little bit of stain and gives you pleasure. And women, it's very simple to please. As long as you please them, the stains will go away by itself. Hello? Any women agree with me? You agree with me? A lady should be preaching here. You see, the heart of theirs is very simple. They will never remember the stains or the hurts if you please them. Amen? Especially in memory. Not only praising her, but also please her. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 18. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice with wife of your youth. I don't have to explain any further of this. Because Solomon is sometimes very flowery. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 9. Live joyfully with the wife whom you have loved all the days of your vain life. Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 5. When a man has taken a new wife, he shall not go out to war or be charged with any business. He shall be free at home 1 year and bring happiness to his wife as the wife he has taken, not anybody else's wife. Okay? The problem with David was he took somebody else's wife when he was supposed to be warring. He was sitting around at home. He's an old man already. He should be out there. He should have asked the husband of this woman to stay back. All right? That is why he took somebody else's wife. And the husband should stay back and please the wife whom he has married. But no, he saw this woman. If the husband was with on the day with Bathsheba, I don't think he would have done that. Amen? I don't think he would have done that. So he sent this man, Uriah, to the war area where he's supposed not to be. And marriages are important. As I told you, I don't have to emphasize this now about intimacy. This is one of those things you can go back and think about it. Okay? 1 Corinthians 7, chapter 7, verse 33. But he who is married cares about the things of the world, how he may please the wife, his wife. You cannot actually care about the world so much, you don't please about the wife. Sometimes we chase after money, but money is not all. The last day when they come here and cry, I want my wife, and they cannot compromise now. They know their best wife they ever got is this person. And now they cry. It's very difficult at times. It's very difficult. Time has gone over. There are many times we cry over people who are good people at a time of funeral. Let's not do that. Let's appreciate every one of them. Amen? Now, marriage is not only one way. Marriage has got two ways. The wife also has got to do something. Right? Now we heard about the husband now. Now we'll hear about the wife. Proverbs chapter 31 verse 10 says, who can find a virtuous wife for her worth is far above rubies? Solomon describes a woman which is far above rubies. He didn't say it's like rubies. The worth of a ruby is far above the rubies. So the value he places on the woman who actually pleases him and takes care of him is far above anything else. He gives them a respect. He gives them a place. And he says it is higher than the value of a ruby. So wives, submit to husband. Ephesians 5:22. Wives, submit to your own husband as to the Lord. Verse 24. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their husbands in everything. Colossians chapter 3 verse 18. Wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. It's a calling by God that it should be submissive. Submission. Submission does not mean to say you must take advantage. I've ministered to people, I could see the wife has bruises. From the hands to the fingers up there, I don't know where else. We have administered to people whose the husband had just cracked the head with a stone or whatever he got. That is not asking. That's not a slave. That's called slave. Even slaves were treated better. Wife should be respected. And the husband should also respect the wife. Just because the word of God calls for submission, I'm doing right every time. And I'll prove to you in the Bible, man has made mistakes because you did not hear a wife. Man has made mistakes because they did not hear, listen to the voice of the wife, because the wife was more intimate with God and could get a word, and they don't want to hear because of ego problem again. Pride. With husband and wife, there should no be ego or pride. The word of God is very clear. There's no ego or pride. Because two become one. How can you have ego or pride within husband and wife? When two becomes one, you are the wife and you are the husband. When your husband looks at each other, he looks the image of the husband on the wife. And the wife will have to look at the image of herself in the husband. That's two in one. And both will have the image of Christ imprinted in them. Unless and until we live a Christian marriage life, we can't actually be an example to others. We can't shine out to others as a defined Christian family, an ideal family of Christ. Amen? Submission does not mean same as abuse. Because somebody submits, abuse. We are accountable for every abuse. I had an encounter with a man of God who came a few days ago on last Tuesday. He died for 7 hours. He was a Muslim when he died. He met the Lord Jesus Christ. He described how the Lord Jesus Christ looked like. He described how the angels were arranged, how there were thousands of them, right, both sides, left, right, and at the entrance of the gate, the golden gate, and he was waiting. And took this Muslim man to a place and showed him, these are the mansions of heaven. He showed him. He saw the amount of, it's the way it is all decorated, pearls, diamonds. You tell the precious stones, it's all there, he says. It's so beautiful. And last asked him, Dimana, where is my mansion? He says, you don't have any mansion. Why? Because you have not accepted me. And then he brought him down to hell. And he showed him a couple of things, including some pastors. Immediately I got a fever. Unthinkable fever. Went up right at my head. After they left, I gave them all tea. After the tea, I have a witness, no? The person is not here today. After the tea, I went to rest this side and asked the person who came to be with me that day to for some teachings, the person to sit in my office. I went the other side and slept for a while. I couldn't sleep. My fever went higher and higher and higher. My face changed. My hands' color changed. And the sister got so excited. I think, sister, I've got to go to Saramban Fridge. I cannot cancel my appointment. I have to go today. So can you just take leave now? I need some rest so I can drive now slowly back to Saramban. She went down, okay. Then I didn't have time to change. No, I said I took one of the jackets in my church, you know, the batik one I wore. Suddenly I see the sister coming up again. Bought two packets of big packets of new ones of Panadols. One for muscle ache, one for fever. Pastor must take and go, you know. Otherwise you... Please take, no, you want some food, I buy for you food now. She brought food. And you know what? To cut the story in, when I went there and I started preaching, I couldn't even do a deliverance before the preaching. Because I saw everything, the Lord showed me everything about the man, but I could not do it because my body was weak. And I told him to wait for a while, sit in the crowd. I know when the worship comes, my spirit man will rise up, the fever will go away. It did rise up and the fever went away. I preached well. After the preaching, while I was preaching, I see they were not there. After the preaching, they called me for dinner because I was hungry, but I didn't have the appetite. But the fever came back until I reached home. Early in the hour of the morning, I prayed for a while and I said, Lord, I can't even bathe today. I'll go to sleep today. It's so cold. But you see, of hearing the man of God going there and seeing what has happened, that's the fever I had. And the fever left that night, just like that. And my feet and my head became warm. It's true, brothers and sisters. Let's now appreciate every one of us beside us. One of the things that he told me was very simple. Why do Christians go to hell every second? It's because of hatred of brothers and sisters. And Jesus is very sad, he says. He didn't understand what is hatred. Banchi, he says. You tend to be hatred of brothers and sisters in Christ and the people around us. And because of that, we go down. We condemn people, whether whatever race they are, whatever religion they are. And that's why we go, these things. We don't condemn people. And the next night, God showed me and said, James, do not worry. When the fear came to you, there was a spirit came to you of fear. That's why you had the fever. But I've given you authority over everything. I've given you authority over divinity, every powers of darkness. Wherever you step, I told you many years ago that you have the power. Why did you forsake me for a while? Man, brothers and sisters, it's true now. Time is very short for us. I don't know when, but let's get right first. First of all, the first thing is your first thing God gave us is the family unit. Let's learn how to be a happy family, a loving family. Then we can shine out into the next family, the church family. Then we can shine out into the worldly family. Man, we can't be a family at home. That's the reason why I started preaching this today. It takes about 2 weeks to preach. It took me 3 weeks to preach in Saramban for this. I'm making it short. So husbands and wife. Wife must submit. Submission is one. Honor her husband. Esther chapter 1 verse 20. When the king's decree which he will make in proclamation throughout all his empire for it is great. All wives will honor their husbands, but both great and small. Proverbs 31:23. A husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. Honoring is important. Queen Vasaki was actually removed. She was removed because King Ahasuerus, when he called her, she did not come. She embarrassed him in front of everybody else. And because of that, she was asked to leave the palace. Honoring is important. That does not mean say take advantage lah. Nowadays, many of them become potatoes. No, they call it the couch potatoes in front of the big box, idiot box. And they sit down with the, especially during the time of, Ferrari race or what is that? F1 race. And then you have this football. Then we have basketball in Philippines. When the basketball goes on, nothing can touch them. Their focus eyes is there. Actually, it's all up there already. And, hello, can you get me a coffee here, please? It's 2:00 in the morning. I'm calling you to take a coffee for me, can or not? See, so interesting. That's abuse, brother. That's really abuse. Right? If you want to go and make yourself. Even my sons, I tell him, please, you want something, go and make yourself. You've got hands and legs. If you can't move the legs now today, you can't move the legs later. Right? So you have to make your own rings. You can be excited about your whatever games you have, but make your own rings. And have intimacy with the husband. Have fellowship with the husband and wife. Husbands sometimes must know when they honor you, don't abuse honor also. Amen. Obey your husband. 1 Peter 3:6. As Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughter you are, if you do good and are not afraid with terror. Amen. Obeying is not out of terror. Obeying because you obey. It's not because you must be terrorized to obey. I've had counseled a person who was terrorizing. The moment the husband's car come into the gate, she's really terrorized. One of them was my sister-in-law. She's up. I don't know whether my cooking today is right or not. I've already got about so many dishes. Not enough. I don't know what your brother is going to say. I said, why are you so uptight? No, you don't know about your brother. No, in front of you is nice. I've seen it. The plates go flying. The food don't know where it is. Probably in the ceiling or on the wall. That's how it was. I pray that today they will honor, as they honor, as they obey, we don't also overdo a lot of things. Okay? There are certain characters in our life we've built. We have to go for deliverance sometimes. It's the characters of our forefathers that's been passed on. We have to about. Same thing with the wives. Some of the characters of disobedience, the characters of rebellion. I can find it here, some of them. I wouldn't want to say. Rebellious spirit is wrong spirit. That's the same spirit of Satan when it was in, I think those of you who are coming for the deliverance class, you'll know, understand. The same spirit is from Satan. He's a rebellious spirit. So we should not have rebellious spirit in our heart. Amen? Praise God. Love one's husband. Titus chapter 2, verse 4. The young woman to love, teach the young woman to love their husbands. Just like the dove, Christ loves the church, so does the wife should be. And wives must love their husbands with purity. Amen. Be full of good deeds. 1 Peter 3:1-6. Go back and read. Titus chapter 2, verse 5. To be discreet, chaste homemakers and good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. You see, the word of God is important because the women keep the word of God also in the house. And I find that always sometimes, it's not sometimes the man, that about 25% of men will come back home and teach the word of God, but the others just too busy in the world, they don't do. The women keep the fire going in the house. They teach the word of God, they teach them in the tuition. So as they teach, remember this, women, you are not neglected by God. God remembers what you're doing. Amen. God remembers. If people do not remember, doesn't matter. God remembers. As long as you're faithful to God and His word, you do not bring disobedience to God. You do not bring blasphemy to God's word. Amen. Remember this. Even at hard times, I've seen women. I've seen these Indian women. No, I don't know about other races. You're beaten nicely and with all the belt and everything else, drunkard, and comes back home after all the thing, or he's already cooled down. I can never get a best husband like him. I don't understand. Please excuse me. 2 days later, they talk, oh, my husband is the best lah. And the guy will come back again next week, drunkard again, top. Whatever the whole routine goes on, the next thing he says, he's still my best husband now. This goes on for one year, you know, 20 years, 30 years. And they've got grandchildren, or still the husband does that. I don't understand. I believe God is watching her. I believe God watched her. I believe God gave her a heart of his heart to her. The weaknesses of the man was shown, but the woman's strength was higher than the weakness of the man. God created man and woman at a side by side. He took the woman out of the side, not from the backbone or from the buttocks or from the leg or from the hand or from any or the head. He took it from side. That means you walk side by side. Not one in front, one at the back. One supposed to lift up the weakness of the other. The strength of one will lift up the other person's weaknesses and they will come up right. The weakness of the other, this person will be able, the husband will be able to pull you up. That's where God created man and woman, sometimes different characters to put together, to mold each other. To mold each other, round you up, so that in the walk of this long haul, not only about yourself, but the family, you'll be able to become the image of Christ in one day. Amen? Image of Christ. I've seen man and woman, when they get married, their faces are different. When they're in the 60s, their face is almost similar. I always think they are both husband and brother and sister, but they are both husband and wife. Even the size also come out rounded like same also. I don't know how. But look at their marriage photograph. Who is this? It's me, lah. My husband, lah. Yeshua. Two different people become one. That's the word of God. Amen? Even in the image, in the appearance itself, become one. That's love, brothers and sisters. I've seen them, even old age, walking hands by in the poolside or in the seaside. Or you go to Taman Jaya, you can see some of them walking around. PJ. I wouldn't know they're believers. But I know one thing, they love each other so much. Amen? Praise God. It's important for us to understand as a husband and wife what we're supposed to do. Examples couple of things I would just want to highlight. It's also good for us to highlight. Give special consideration for homes. The wives are always in good deeds, and also give consideration for homes. Titus chapter 2, verse 5. They are good homemakers. Proverbs 31:15. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household. Verse 27, she watches over ways of her household. She's not only just the person there, she's the manager of the whole house. She's the prime minister of the household. Amen? She's the prime minister of the house, total entire house. Be sensible, chaste, domestic, and kind. Titus chapter 2 verse 5, it talks about that. Sensible, a very sensible person, and also be a housewife, supposed to be a wife, should be a with chastity also. Dress modestly. This I do not know. Be a good in heart. 1 Peter 3 verse 3 verse 4. 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 9. Dress modestly is good because you will know no other man will look at you. You only dress for your husband. Okay? And it is good if you know how to please your husband. Okay. Please your husband, just like the husband just now we read, 1 Corinthians 7:34. Be a helper to a husband. This is where I need to emphasize a little bit. I told you, both of you are molded into one, side by side. Be a helper. One should be compatible to the other person. In other words, when the person is weaker, you'll be able to take care of the other person. All right? Hospitality, 1 Timothy 5, chapter 10, chapter 5, verse 10. Looking compassionate need to the family. I think it's always, I see some women always are compassionate. We talked about the other day, we talked about Tabitha. She said how the compassionate woman she was, that she was able to, the whole city was wanting, the women wanted her to come alive again, that she was raised alive. Amen? examples of good marriages in the Bible. Jacob and Rachel, Genesis 29. Solomon, you can see Solomon's story. It describes about a Shulamite woman and a shepherd boy. It's Jesus and the church. Godly parents like Joseph and Mary, Zacchaeus and Elizabeth. Zacharias and Elizabeth, sorry. Couples serving the Lord together in Alpha, Aquila and Priscilla, Acts chapter 18, verse 2, 20, verse 2 and 28. Now, I would like to talk about some of the important thing, the children's responsibility. And as a father, what is your responsibility? A father's responsibility is to be having a heart which is not to provoke the children, but to have the father's heart of the Father in heaven. Amen? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, so but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. 31. Colossians chapter 3, verse 21. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. We are supposed to admonish them. We are supposed to raise them up. We are not supposed to spare the rods. But we are not supposed to provoke them or discourage them. Fathers, sometimes I myself have made a mistake. I must tell you that. I'm not an angel here standing here, right? I myself made a mistake in my life. Where you are so precious, you pressure the children, and the guys don't know what to do, and suddenly they turn out to be rebellious against me a little bit. The moment I start with love, it's different. I show them something, they change the entirely different. They listen to me more. Even the guy listened to his music, and after that, I heard you, Papa, I know I'm hearing you. Why are you putting on the music when you listen to me? It irritates me, I tell him. I'm listening to you. What's your result? You want result, isn't it? I'll give you the result. So sometimes we don't challenge them to the things that they will provoke. You provoke them until they rebellious towards us, but we must be able to have the Father's heart. How the Father's heart this morning touched me from heaven. He touched the heart. There is no one I can find like him as a friend. A father became my friend. Jesus became my friend. Because you know why? I go anytime, he'll carry me out again and again and again. And he knows my weaknesses. He knows every thought of mine. He knows every heart of mine. He knows my pulse beat. He knows where I'll fall. He will just avoid me and take me away from that place. But if I'm willing to be with him, the Father's heart is the same. If he knows, so we must know our children very well. A father should realize a father's heart is important. I want to tell you this today. I also was inspired by another thing which I received 2 days ago from the NECF, asking us to pray for suicidal cases. In Malaysia, every day there are minimum two people who suicide every day. I don't know about the number of Christians who are suiciding every day. By the proportion of the number they gave me, I looked at it and look at the proportion, the percentage in the whole country is not big. But if you go down and see which race does it affect, then you'll see the problem starts from the home. The problem starts from the home. Either they are lonely, it's teenagers, the highest number is teenagers and young adults. Hear me clearly, if the family is right, if the family can nurture the needs, if the family can watch the changes in the child, and I believe all this can be stopped. The devil will not take away these lives. The devil will not be able to go out rampage to all the families around. Family must be right. Father must be right. The mother must be right. Amen? That is why if the husband and wife, the marriage is important, husband and wife must be a reflection of the children's attitude. If those of them, both of them, know how to honor each other and they will know how to talk to each other, go and sit down privately and talk. Hey, what are you both doing? We're just chatting love, some private things about both of us. If you can tell your children they are doing something like that, they will know when to come. If you are friendly with one of the children, and the children will come back to you and talk to you about their personal things. They will not seek a person outside. Fathers and mothers, encourage them, not discourage them. Many of them go away because of that. They go to drugs because of that. They don't find that kind of love in the house. Especially now, parents are working too. Both the parents are working. Many. They only took a statistics of the people who are dying every day of suicidal. What about those who are going to drugs every day? What about those who go and get their body, whatever they want to do with themselves? They don't know what to do. What about those mud rampant? Now that some Chinese and Indians have sort of followed that. They don't do it obviously like what the Malays do. But they followed. They have got their own cliques now. And do worse things sometimes. Sharing of a person, of a girl, among a few guys. All these are happening rampant in this nation of Malaysia. It's because the families are not right. Christian family must rise up. Christian families must be an example to other families that we will be a light. We must discipline, yes. We must discipline. Discipline is something. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 9 to 10 says that very clearly. There must be commitment in the love of the children, and you love the children, care for the children. Devotion is important. Devotion sometimes is not only devote time with them, but also the devotion of the family is important. Your devotion time with God is important. If that is not there, how can you have devotion time with your children? Right? I've learned my lesson. In my life, I've learned. I spend my time. Last time I had a lot of ministry. But now I cut off. And I say, this is the day for my children. I'll make sure I don't care about anybody else. Otherwise, I get my children into trouble. My boys are not ordinary boys. No, they're hyper. Very hyper. If you know them, some of you know them. Even the youngest fellow is so hyper. Right? So if I don't devote the time, then he will go away from the Lord. He will go away from the family. He'll go away with their friends, which are not right sometimes. Instruction is important in our life. And Hebrews says that he must instruct them. Fathers must instruct. A father's figure is important in a family. If the father's figure is not there, if the father's love is not there, many children go back to lesbianism, especially girls, because of lack of father's love. In my counseling, I found out that children, especially girls, go out because of the father's love. There's a vacuum of that father's love, the male dominance in the family. You see, the children will turn out to be the other way around. Amen? And I pray God will change that, reverse that. It's a spirit. Right? Spirit. Fathers must think. Good fathers has got great thoughts. Good fathers has got great goals. Good fathers dedicate every one of them in the household every day, the children, to the Father in heaven. Good fathers will communicate with a great father to get the wisdom. Amen? Otherwise, we are actually implanting characters which has failed in our life. My certain character of my life would fail my children. I will assure you that. That's why God has got to knock me and bring me at a later age to the Lord. I don't want that to happen to my children. So you have to get rid of this so that the baggage, that there can be a new person replacing this father's love back again to the family. Then the boys will change. They will not go through the same way I went through in my life. Amen? Praise God. In Joshua, Joshua was a very good thinker. Joshua 24:15. The other person you can think of a good father is also David. 1 Chronicles 28:9 and 1 Chronicles 29:19. Go back and read. Mothers. There is a word for mothers. Mother's heart is to, they begot the child, you know. The mother is got, not only the, they carried the child for 9 months, they also nurtured the child inside their womb for 9 months. They were able to communicate with the child for 9 months. God gave them that capability. So while they're doing whatever they are, that is why they can do 3 things at the same time or 4 things at the same time, which concentration is the same for all, while men can concentrate. Very few men can concentrate like that, can do 2 or 3 things together at the same time. Right? Because the body is created like that. A mother, Titus chapter 2, verse 4 to 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 14. that they may admonish the young women to love their husband to love their children. Amen. To love their children. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 14. Therefore I desire that the younger widows marry bad children, manage house, and goes on Friday. They must bear children. One of the things that women ask to is to love the children they bear. I have had some counseling, not many, from women's side, where the mothers are always good, but one or two I've had, a few of them I had, was problematic because of the parents, the way they treated this child. The child behaved the same way as the, she became a mother and now behaved the same way the parents treated her. This child was put into dark rooms when she was young. She was tied up. So now the mother is now doing the same thing to the child because she did the same thing as the mother. That the spirit of the mother, grandmother, came to the granddaughter now. Amen. So we have to deliver them out of this. We have to go through a counseling. Some of you have this kind of problem. Please come. If you've got any way, you've got hatred, please come. Get it out of your system. Amen. So you can be a good mother to love them. There are very few mothers who reject their own child. Very few mothers. Some do. Ephesians chapter 6. Sorry. For mothers again. Good mothers, like, you know, must raise the children up, love the children. Implications, commitment, care, concern, instructions, discipline is important. If you don't discipline, sometimes the father, he comes at home, he just don't listen sometimes, you know. Is that right? How many of you had this problem? Come home, you must give him a coffee or a juice after I sit down, papers or a TV. I don't know what's happening to the children. And the mother will bark a little bit. You take care, you know what to do. The fellow is close to you, what? You must care. So the woman has got a greater responsibility also. When you have some time, especially unequally yoked, you have to bring them up in the right manner, in the word of God, in a manly way, in the godly way. The people you can think about good mothers in the Bible, I can think of is Hannah. You know Hannah? She cried out to God for her child. She wanted a child so desperately. She cried out as if she was so drunk. She got the child. She treasured the child, nurtured the child, and gave it back to God. And never saw him after that for many, many years. Can you just imagine, give to the temple, and you don't get a chance to see him the whole year? Maybe once a year you go down again, you see the person, your child. And she was blessed with many children thereafter. Go back and read the word of God. Amen? In 1 Samuel chapter 1, she was blessed later in the chapters therein. Louis and Innes in 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 5 raised Timothy to be a believer of God. Timothy's parents, when Paul found this man Timothy, he was raised as a manly man of God. His words were wise, wisdom. It might be wild for a while, but they taught him how to Priscilla and Aquila, both of them, they taught them how to do it. But in the end of the day, he was a man who was brought up by a mother with a word. Amen. Amen. So he cannot be a good man, and Timothy is mentioned, and he's got the letters which is written by Paul to Timothy. Amen? Praise God. Now let's talk about the children now. How many children here? Children, pay attention. Children, pay attention. All children are offspring of parents. Without parents, you cannot be a child. Hello? Without the father and mother, you cannot be born here. Without the father and mother and God, you cannot be born into the world. All of us are the same. Right? So we must honor the father and mother. Children must always honor the father. Children are called a heritage of the Lord. Psalm 127, verse 3 to 20, verse 3 to 5. Psalm 127, verse 3 to 5. It says this is a heritage. What is the word of heritage? It's something so precious, something so tangible but so precious in life. They will carry on for many years. And they will bear fruit and they will carry on again. So children, first of all, you must understand you're valuable in the family. You're valuable
to love your parents.
Amen. And love God. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 1 to 2. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise that you will have a long life. We as parents too, we have to know how to become a good child to our parents. Amen? If we don't know how to become a good child to our parents, then we have a problem. Our children will look at us and see and do the same to us when they come, when become old. Right? Yet how you treat your children now also will treat yourself, your parents now also treat how they will treat you when you are old. Young adults, don't stop being children. You are young adults, but you're never out of being children, okay? You are still a children. Honor the father and mother. That's a requirement of every young adult. Amen. Exodus 20:12 and Deuteronomy 5:16, Ephesians 6:2 also talks about you also. Grandparents. Grandparents in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 6. Grandparents is supposed to love their children and their children's children. Hello? See, many of them, grandparents, they're excited about a grandchild, they forget their children. They treat their children differently, and then they treat their grandchildren differently. Do you get what I'm saying? If you know how to treat your children well, then the children will treat the children well. If we don't have the system of treating each other well, then we have a system which is a failure. Most grandparents, what they do is that they love their children. The moment they see their grandchildren, they forget the children out. Some of them, what they do, because they've got a grandchildren, they will go and manipulate and tell the children, this is how you must bring up the children. Sometimes we cannot interfere too much into the children's. You must give them independence. If you have done a good job, they'll remember what you have done and they'll do the same. Because of this interference of the grandparents onto the children, marriages break. I'm sorry to say, some of them are pressured, especially those daughter-in-laws or son-in-laws, they get a lot of pressure. And there were a lot of quarrels in the family because of this problem. So you must treat your children as independent adults. At the same time, as grandparents, you must also talk to the children, grandchildren very well. The word of God is very clear for every one of us. Grandparents become the mother and the wife, the mother and the father for the children, and also the grandparents will become the grandchildren, grandchildren's grandparents. Amen. Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3, verse 34 to 35. Sorry, I've jumped. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1 to 3, sorry. Deuteronomy chapter 6, 1 to 3, talks about, you will speak to your children's children. So God is asking you to speak about a testimony of yourself and how God was in your life so that you can give the testimony. If you don't have a life with God, you have no testimony for the children and children's children. So our life, we should start. Parents, start now itself. If you don't have a testimony in your own life, you can't tell your grandchildren what God did to you in your life. A testimony is about Christ himself. How Christ was involved in your life. How Christ was involved in your daily walk. How Christ came and saved you at a certain time or point in time. There was desperation. How Christ was there. If grandparents can share that to the grandchildren, then the grandchildren will know what my father say and my mother say is correct. It's confirmed by the grandparents. Hello? If you see Gospel of John, he doesn't have to bring John the Baptist. You'll find the first few chapters, you'll find that he brings John the Baptist. There's a testimony. He doesn't need testimonies, but he brings upon John the Baptist, said this, two times. Why? Because he brought the testimony of John the Baptist to the people around. That he saw heaven open, and he heard the voice. And this is not the ordinary person. This is the Messiah who's coming. He'll baptize you with fire. I can only baptize you with water. Why does he have to say that? John doesn't have to bring all that. But because the testimony. Amen? It's a testimony. It's part of the testimony of a man of God who was walking at the time. So today, what's your testimony that you'll make your grandchildren testify and say, yeah, my God has been a great God in my grandparents and my parents' life. He'll be also in my life. That confirmation, that motivation we must give as grandparents and parents. Amen? Praise God. You all happy? The next thing is, we don't forget, that's the first family. The second family you have is the church. Church is important in our life. That's a spiritual family. Spiritual family, as the church is here today, the family which comes into this church, if they come united with love, with respect for one another, the same thing will be duplicated in this family here. Hello? If you come in your family, it's so much of strife, so much of fight, so much of disunity, and so much of problems, rebellion, the same thing will be repeated in the church as a family, spiritual family. Why churches break, why people leave church, is because of this spirit which comes from the family, the foundation. The foundation is the church, is the first church, that is called the family, ideal family of Christ. Then comes the church family. The reflection of how you behave in the church will be a reflection of the things of your family here. If we're all in the same word, we know the same word, we read the same word, we believe in Christ Jesus and no one else, it should be the same here. Hello? It should be the same here. If something's wrong somewhere, that's why we work in a system which is a broken system. The worldly system is different, but the church system is based on the love of Christ. And the love of Christ should prevail in the family first, before you come to the church. Amen? If there is one that's got to forgive, has know how to learn how to forgive in the family first, then they will know how to forgive in the church here. If know how to behave one another, treat one another in the church, in a family, they'll know how to treat in the church here. Because the same family, we will be all meeting in the same place. There is no different place. As I will be naked before every one of them. When I say naked, not physically. Naked in the spirit to every one of you. And God is going to judge on the day, last day. None of us can run away. I can be holy, holy today. And I have a double life outside. I can have a life here and I have a life in the household differently. I can have a life here and life in the society differently. And I have a life in a family differently. If that's going to be my life, I'm answerable to it before God. And you all be a witnesses looking at this man. Ayo, I thought he's wearing a jacket, nice one, white shirt, all that, standing there, all very nice. Huh? Oh, his heart is like that. As I'm being judged, all of us will be too. Let's remember that. That's the reason why I had high fever, I believe. We have to recite how we behave, how we treat one another, husband and wife, children, children to the parents, grandparents to the children and the grandchildren. It's important for us today. I pray that we'll have great-great-grandchildren. I pray every one of us will experience the great-great-grandchildren. Grandchildren's children. That's right. Very nice, isn't it? That God can give you a long life. That means to say you have been very faithful to your parents. That God gives you a long life. Man, I visited one last week on Friday, Sunday night. I attended a funeral. And the one of the testimony of the son which came up and said, I can only describe this. I don't know how to say anything much with emotion. He's got a good son in England now playing football, soccer. And he came up and said, a very poor family, very large family. A father was only an ambulance driver here in Malaysia. The man who passed away. He had a very large family, and they described everybody. So listen to everybody, how the father, wherever they went, he always brought food, you know, whatever party he goes, always remember his mother, his wife, and then his grandmother was at home, and everybody else, and also for the children, he'll pack and tapa and bring, you know, and never forget. He'll never eat before even the children are eaten. That kind of father's heart he had. Everybody gave, but this son came up, and we are very short. I pray God will give me another life. And God will give me a life to be a father to my father. that I can serve him the way he has done to me. That's my prayer. That's about my life. It just went off with tears. That touched my heart. Among everybody who described that night, that man's heart touched me that night. If God give me a life again in this world, I want to be a father or a mother to the one who was my mother and my father this world. That's just a thought. His thought was that. It's not real. In Christian life, we don't have that. But he says, if only. But that touched my heart. This man has impacted not only his children, his grandchildren, and grandchildren's children. He was 96 when he died. And everybody in the place was so quiet and so tensed up because they lost this person in the family. Although in the last days he had Parkinson's disease, every grandchildren took turn to come and take care of him. Every grandchildren, male or female. And the guy who's the grandchild is in the UK, he makes it a point every year he comes for his birthday. He takes leave during the time, don't play soccer during the time, just to see the grandfather. Because that grandfather has impacted the children's life and also the life of the grandchildren and grandchildren's children. I could see that as reality right last Sunday night when I attended this funeral. Brothers and sisters, how many of us can say that? How many children of ours will say that? Ask yourself today, am I being a good husband? Am I being a good wife? Am I being a good family with the children? Am I being a good child to my father? Am I being an adult, young adult, a good one for my parents? Remember, we are born in this world. We carry the name of your parents, your father. You were given a name. But above all, you became a Christian. You carry Christ's name. Whatever we do, we affect the name of our parents. If you're a limb, you're a tongue. Tongue's name is affected. Your own personal name is affected. And above all, Christ's name is affected. Let's live a life, a family, which God ideally wanted. And his plan was to have an ideal family, a family in Psalm 128. And I pray today that all of us will have that. And our church will change. Our hearts will change. Our minds will change. Amen? Praise God. Father, we just want to thank you, Father. We dedicate every family in this house, Lord, to you. Even those who are not here today, Father God, we dedicate them into your hands, Father. Family is your loving place, Father God. Family is where, Father, you stay together with them. You live with them. You, Lord, walk with them. Even, Lord, you bathe with them. Lord, you even walk with them wherever they go, Father. Even you cook with them, Lord. You are there for them. You go to work with them, Lord. You travel with them. Yes, Father. Family is the place of Father God. You chose to place in a family that you love. And we deserve this family that you've given us, a Father. We thank you for our fathers and our mothers and our siblings. We thank you, Father, for the church you have given us, a Father. This is the second family, Father God. Father, we pray that we will appreciate every one of us. We love them, even these times, a Lord. That when we see you face to face, we will reflect the love that you have shown us. And, you, Lord, you will say, good and faithful children, I love you because you loved others. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.